This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
And ESPN Plus as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bob Wischusen in for Max. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. In case you did or did not just hear that Bart Scott promo, talking about the fact they're going to be in for the guys again tomorrow morning, and should San Francisco draft Justin Fields, Mac Jones, that debate at number three, which is really where the draft seems to start now, because you know who the top two picks are going to be. Let me throw one more thing out there about Sam Darnold that's driving me bananas before we go back to the phones and take a few more of your calls. And again, Jordan Schultz, who was an ESPN analyst covering the NBA and the NFL, is going to join us coming up about 10 minutes from now. But we'll try to squeeze in some calls between now and then at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All right, I have heard so many people killing Sam Darnold, basically saying he stinks, and many of the same people talking about Mac Jones as being a no-brainer for the San Francisco 49ers with the third pick in the draft. So I guess if you're that person, you are who I am speaking to. If you think Sam Darnold stinks, but you also don't have a problem with Mac Jones as the third pick in the draft, you are my target audience. This is the question I would ask you. So Sam Darnold plays 3 years in the NFL against NFL defenses, right? The best of the best, with really no offensive line. As I said before, Robbie Anderson was the best skill position player he had in New York. He's an undrafted rookie free agent from Temple who walked on at Temple and ends up being the best player that the Jets were able to put out there, at least most productive player in 3 years. That's what Sam Darnold's hand, that was the hand he was dealt. Now you got Mac Jones, who you think should be the third pick in the draft, who played the last 2 years against college defenses with NFL draft choices in front of him, the offensive line, and four wide receivers that in 2 years are all going in the first round. Mac Jones played with four receivers in college against college defenses that are better than anybody that Sam Darnold has played with in the NFL. And yet Sam Darnold stinks, and Mac Jones should be the third pick in the draft. All right, I got it. I mean, square that circle for me. Like, does perspective mean nothing? Does your supporting cast mean nothing? Is it just stats? I put up really good stats, therefore I am great. I put up bad stats, therefore I am bad. And there's no in-between? It's that black and white. No one can ultimately overcome their statistics? How about if they're given help? So Mac Jones should be the third pick in the draft. San Francisco mortgaged to get up to three and make the big trade with the Dolphins so that they could get their dream quarterback. That's Mac Jones. He plays 2 years of college football with Henry Ruggs and Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, who wins the Heisman Trophy. He's throwing to those guys. Sam Darnold's best weapon in 3 years against NFL defenses is a free agent, undrafted from Temple. And yet, like, you don't see the hand he was dealt? And why, with Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore and now Robbie Anderson again, and let's say they get lucky and maybe they're able to draft a Jamar Chase, a Devontae Smith, a Kyle Pitts. I mean, see one of those. Give him another one of those weapons. Or maybe they decide Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater. You know, maybe you give him a franchise left tackle and actually give him some help blocking for him as well. I'd be fine with that if I were Sam Darnold. But it's amazing to me that the same people would say, Darnold stinks, Robbie Anderson was the best he ever had against NFL defenses, but Mac Jones, man, you got to go draft him. How do you not draft that guy? Look at the numbers he put up in college. Now, granted, it's the SEC. It's the best of the best. I get that. But it's still college defenses. And he is throwing to Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. I mean, think of the talent. And not to mention the fact he's got NFL guys blocking for him as well. There has to be some perspective when you're looking at the hand the player gets dealt. Look at the hand Sam Darnold was dealt. Let's check in with Bear in Chicago. Joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Bob Wischusen in for Max Kellerman. What's up, Bear?
Hey, Bob. Doing a great job. Love you, man.
Thanks,
love
man.
You. Love you. Now, I want to get on you a little bit because I agree with you and Max about the general managers, but you didn't get on my beloved Bear Down general manager Ryan Pace enough. I'm so done with this guy since he drafted Trubisky, traded all this capital to move up to get a guy that played 13 college games. 13. Who does that? Now, he could have gotten Sam Darnold for what they got for. Oh my God. He messed up. He needs to go. Needs to take Matt Nagy with him. Now,
yeah, I'm with you. The idea that my franchise would have Andy Dalton as quarterback, and by having Andy Dalton removes me from the need to even, you know, think about trading for Sam Darnold, to me is malpractice. I'm with you. I'm on board.
Be our quarterback. I think of him as Jay Cutler 2.0. You get him with the right guy, he'll cut down those interceptions, and he would be smooth sailing. Big guy, young guy, can run the ball. He has accuracy. He can improve on that always. We just need to get that offensive line healthy. We'll be good. We got a beast at running back. If Donald were the quarterback, we'd be moving. Go get Teddy Bridgewater. If they gave up a sixth for Donald this year, we can give up 2 fours next year.
Yeah, Bear, thanks Teddy for the call. I appreciate it. I mean, let Sam throw it Allen Robinson for a little while and see how he feels about that. He'd feel a lot better about anything he threw, any of the guys that he threw to in New York. I guarantee you. Let's go to Joseph in Texas, who's been patient, joins us next year on ESPN Radio. What's up, Joseph?
Hey, so I want to bring up another GM that should probably be fired if he were to pull this off, but would never be fired because he's the owner. There's rumors of my Cowboys trying to go up to number 4 for Kyle Pitts, but why would you do that? I feel like we're already loaded on offense. We don't need another weapon. We need defense, and we might be able to get the best defensive player just sitting back at number 10. What do you think?
I would agree. I think Kyle Pitts is going to be an absolute monster, and if somehow the stars aligned and Kyle Pitts fell to 10, I can't imagine that would ever happen. But if he ever fell to 10 and the Cowboys picked him, I would have no problem with that. Because to me, even if you're saying it might not be a need, the talent would be so overwhelming, you'd be compelled, I think, to take a player that a lot of people think might be the best player in the draft. Maybe outside of Trevor Lawrence, he might be the number 2 talent in this draft. You would be compelled to take him there, but spending what you would have to spend to go from 10 to 4, I mean, especially when there are quarterbacks on the board. Teams go from 10 to 4 to get a quarterback. You know, so to give up quarterback compensation to go get Kyle Pitts, I agree with you, would not be the way that I would go. I think that's fair. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Joins us here on ESPN Radio, Bob Wischusen, and for Max Kellerman. What's up, Richard?
Bob, did you see the Utah-Phoenix game last night?
I did.
At the end of the game, it's tie score, and Booker takes a contested three. I mean, and it looked like he even took a step back to take it. I mean, it was not necessary. He could have went to the basket or drove a little bit and taken it, too. They didn't need anything. All he needed was 1 point.
No, they won the game, though.
Yeah, they won in overtime. But I thought that was a lousy shot to take at the end. Bob, did you see Gary Sanchez not running out of a double, maybe even a triple, and barely making it to first base yesterday? Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I was not watching the NBA game yesterday.
It went into this gap in left field. He thought the outfielder would catch it. The outfielder misplayed it off the wall, and he barely made it to first. Awful. One last thing I was thinking about, Bob. You know, and I just thought of this after all these years. When you see an infielder, especially a shortstop, dive in the hole, make the play, and then get up and throw, that's much harder than an outfielder making a dive. Because not only does the infielder, especially the shortstop, he has to not only stop the ball, get the ball, hold on to the ball, and then get up and make a perfect throw. Okay. So it's really two great plays in one.
All right.
I never thought of it like that.
All right. I'm not sure where you want me to go with that. Like, yes, I would agree. I'm impressed when shortstops do that. All right, Richard, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I always like having just a very brief visit to Planet Richard. You know, it's way out in the solar system. You don't often get to go there. Very select few get to board the spaceship and go that far out into the universe and visit Planet Richard. But having a chance to go there is a treat. Bob Wischusen in for Max, the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. And I believe Jordan Schultz is going to be joining us in just a moment, ESPN NFL NBA analyst. Got a lot to talk to Jordan about because, again, you know, just right on cue, Jordan is ready to join us here. And, Jordan, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. It's Bob is sitting in for
Max. Thanks, Bob. You got it.
Thanks, man. Hey, you know what? Let's start NFL, then we'll shift to NBA. I've been spending the last 45 minutes or so basically firing general managers who I think have bad solutions right now at quarterback for not going after what I think would still be a very good solution for a lot of teams that apparently did not step up to the plate and take a swing at bringing in Sam Darnold. So do you think it was fair compensation that Carolina gave up to get him? And if you were Washington or Chicago or one of these other teams that I think right now has at best a stopgap at quarterback, maybe should there have been more teams in the mix to go get Darnold and see if they can rehabilitate his career?
Yeah, 100%. And I'm so glad you brought it up because, first of all, Sam Darnold, for all the issues he had in New York, there are a lot of reasons why, mitigating factors. You know, he didn't have a lot of weapons. Other than last season with Becton, he never had a good offensive line. And he's still only 23 years old. I mean, he's younger than Joe Burrow. He has got all the ability. And now he has an opportunity to go to Carolina where he has McCaffrey, he has Moore, he has Robbie Anderson. They're working on the offensive line. And maybe most importantly, he has Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, who are both really good with quarterbacks. The Panthers pick up his fifth-year option. It's a small cap hit, right around $25, $26 million. In my opinion, when you think about what the Panthers are getting, it is the perfect upgrade because now you move on from Teddy Bridgewater, you get a guy in Darnold who is more accurate, more athletic, and probably way more upside. And then if you think about, like, the Bears, for example, as you mentioned, a team that is desperate for a quarterback and just signed Andy Dalton, to not really make a substantial push and go after someone in Sam Darnold who still has, I believe, and if you ask people around the league, most people would say, far and away, his best football remaining, it's puzzling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the Jets radio play-by-play guy. So I have had the, pleasure, privilege of watching every snap
privilege.
Of Sam Darnold's
privilege
career.
Privilege is a good word.
I mean, look, he is one of my all-time favorites, just as a kid. He is everything that you want the face of your franchise to be. He was raised the right way, blue-collar family, 3 years here, had so many reasons to throw people under the bus and never, ever did. Never did anything but take all of it on his own shoulders. So I watched firsthand as he was out there for 3 years by himself. And now, like I said earlier, Robbie Anderson was the best skill guy that he played with, most productive skill guy that he played with in New York. He's an undrafted free agent from Temple. Now he goes to a team where he's reunited with Robbie Anderson, but depending on what they do with the eighth pick, Robbie Anderson might turn out to be the fourth best skill guy that he's going to play with in his first year in Carolina. He was the best skill guy in 3 years he played with in New York. I mean, to me, like, the circumstances matter, and I'm amazed that more people don't take that into account when they look at what they think Sam Darnold can still be.
Well, let's not forget, this guy was a top pick, number one draft choice. He has all the pedigree, to your point. And you know what I love about him? He's a tough dude. You know, I mean, listen, he's not without his faults. Some of it is on him. But what I love about him is when you ask teammates, like, for example, I asked Jamal Adams about him, and he was very candid. He said, you know what? He said, I really respect what Sam Darnold did for us because he was committed to never burning bridges. He stayed with the program. He didn't complain, and he was consistent. And when I think about what you want in a franchise quarterback who has never really been helped, that's precisely the answer. And they only had to give up. You know, I think it was a six-round pick and then a second and fourth next season. So the Panthers, to your point, they really made a play for their future. And you're right. What if the eighth pick is Devontae Smith? Think about that. He's never had anybody like that. You couple that with McCaffrey, Moore, and to your point, Robbie Anderson, I mean, that's lethal.
Jordan Schultz on the Goodyear Hotline with us, ESPN NFL NBA analyst. All right, so let me switch gears to the rest, I guess, kind of the quarterback carousel. And I'm wondering what you think – talked to Dan Graziano about this last hour. Does this draft, in your opinion, start at three? Is there still some real mystery as to who you think San Francisco is ultimately going to go with? Do you think it's still really trending towards Mac Jones and they're just doing their Justin Fields due diligence with this second pro day?
I don't think they've made a decision, But I think the answer right now, if the draft were today, the Niners would take Mac Jones. I don't think the decision is fully made, but I also don't think it's a full smokescreen either. I mean, there's enough people around the league that believe strongly, Bob, that it is Mac Jones. And I'm certainly not his biggest fan. I've been very vocal. I think that pick should be Justin Fields or Trey Lance, because if I'm a Niners fan and I'm Kyle Shanahan, that fits what I want much more than Mac Jones. Although the one thing about Mac Jones is he is obviously very good on paper. He's great on the board, and he'll be able to execute the basic stuff that Shanahan wants that, to an extent, Jimmy really never did. And you asked me if the draft starts at 3. To me, it really starts at 4. And, you know, I think about Atlanta, the opportunity for them to trade the pick, to me, it's right there. I mean, they need a lot of help. Obviously, Matt Ryan is 36 years old. They could keep that pick, and maybe it is Justin Fields. But I think there's a good chance that they trade that pick, and that's where the draft really gets going.
What do you think ultimately happens with Aaron Rodgers?
I think he'll just continue. He's almost like on a year-by-year basis now. You know, I mean, his camp has never been happy with the way that the Mike McCarthy years went post-Super Bowl. They brought in Matt LaFleur. They had a great connection in the second season. Rodgers was happy. They obviously came up short in the NFC Championship. But from a talent perspective around him, they need to draft a receiver. I think they know that. They should have done it last year. They obviously didn't. But he needs help. They want to keep him happy because he is the franchise. They brought back Aaron Jones. Maybe they overpaid, but they brought him back, a great running back. I think Aaron Rodgers will ultimately be in Green Bay for the foreseeable future. But I do believe that stuff needs to happen for that. You know, Green Bay has to take care of him like they haven't before. And maybe it's drafting a couple receivers.
Yes. Is Tom Brady a cautionary tale for the Packers? Right. Don't let this happen. Don't let Aaron Rodgers go somewhere and win a Super Bowl wearing a different uniform because you neglected him and made him feel like you didn't care about him the way you should.
100%. And if you think about the Pats and all the six Super Bowls, Bob, you almost forget that Brady wasn't the anchor of all of them. I know it sounds crazy, but he was so consistent and steady and great that you start to take it for granted. And I don't know if Packer fans have, but I think the organization for a long time did, and they wasted a lot of years for him and with Mike McCarthy. I mean, I've said the same, you know, in Seattle with Russell Wilson. He's not happy, and he's obviously younger, but they've wasted some of his years because of bad offensive line play. You have to take care of your franchise quarterback, and I think the Packers saw it firsthand with Tampa.
Jordan Schultz with us here on ESPN Radio. All right, we've done mostly all NFL, but you're an NBA guy as well, so real quick, before I let you go, put the Lakers on the panic meter. Like, to me, there's two ways of looking at the Lakers. You're digging yourself a hole. You're losing some games. You're dropping down the standings. You're going to create a really hard road for yourself. Or when AD and LeBron come back, who cares who's in front of us? At that point, we'll be the best team. We'll just beat all comers, and we're not really worried about it. Where do you fall on that scale?
On a 1 to 5, I'm at a 4. I think they are in a position now where they could potentially play in the play-in game. And that would be a disaster because you never want to get in a position, even if you're a team with LeBron and Anthony Davis, to play a one-game format. And right. If you think about the rest of the conference, the top 7 seeds are combined 45-14 since LeBron's injury. Everybody in the West is playing well. Phoenix, Utah, Denver, Portland, they're all playing well. The Clippers. The Lakers are at the point now where you're counting on Anthony Davis to come back from an Achilles, and you're counting on LeBron James to be great, which is probably the right move. But at the same time, you don't have the depth, and you certainly don't have the playmakers to compensate. So they better hope that those guys are both 100% or close to it.
Jordan, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get through this again sometime.
No.
All right, man. That's Jordan Schultz, covers the NBA and the NFL, an insider with both here on ESPN Radio. So he was able to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We appreciate his time. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Up next, we will step right up to that NFL quarterback carousel and take more of your telephone calls. Sam Darnold, maybe the Mac Jones thoughts I had earlier. We're firing some general managers. Your thoughts on that? Give us a call, and we'll talk about it when we come back. It's time for some straight talk as well. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like a walk-off home run in the 9th inning, good. All right, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bob Wischusen in for Max, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. And I'll come right back and head right back to the phones here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Bob Wischusen in for Max Kellerman, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big money when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. While Raj tries to play Name That Tune completely unsuccessfully, we'll get back to the phones in a second. You know, you heard Christy Lisi. Yeah, you've got no chance. I can tell. I can see the look on your face in the Zoom. You had no idea who that was. We're just going to leave it at that. Bubba continues to perplex you. You know, I heard Christine Lisi just give you the update of the Masters leaderboard. Right now, if you're watching the Masters, you're not watching the Masters, you're watching the U.S. Open. That's what it feels like. This place is playing like the top of your kitchen table, trying to land a golf ball like on a linoleum floor. Right now, Brian Harman is done for the day, along with Hideki Matsuyama at -3. Mark Leishman just made a bogey at 9, or rather at 10, to drop to -2. So he no longer shares the lead. 3 under par is almost certainly going to be the overnight lead. I don't see anybody on the golf course. I mean, the guys that are only 4 or 5 holes into their round right now shooting better than 3 under. It's funny, I heard Abraham Answer earlier today, interviewed on the range, and they were talking to him about the fact that it's so unusual to have the Masters be held in a pandemic year in November, and then only 5 months later come right back here and play the tournament all over again. And he said, yeah, I went back and looked at all of my notes that I took about the golf course from November. I had them all with me. Then I went out and played practice rounds this week, and I just tore them all up and threw them in the garbage. Because nothing that applied to what we had in November applies with the way that Augusta National is playing right now. It's like going from Augusta National to Oakmont. Now, if we get some rain, and it looks like there will be some rain in the Augusta area, thunderstorms are in the forecast off and on over the next few days. If the rain softens the course up, then you could see scores go lower. And we also know, especially on Sunday, they like to put the pins in spots on the greens at Augusta that generate birdies and generate excitement. So I do think that the winner could end up being double digits under par after the full 4 rounds are played. If they get some rain, easier pin positions, soften the greens up, I think there'll be more birdies, but this is not going to be Dustin Johnson shooting 20 under. I mean, this is not going to be what we had back in November, which was like the Greater Greensboro Buick Kmart Classic Shootout Invitational. This is going to be a major championship on a legit major championship setup because these guys are grinding. They are struggling just to be around even par. If you, at the end of today, have anything at even par or better, you played a really, really, really good opening round. Shoot even par or better, and you are right there. Because I can't see anybody shooting better than 3 under. I mean, Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama are in the house at -3. Somebody else might get to -3. But by the end of the day, watching this right now, watching how hard this course is playing, I can't imagine someone's going to shoot better than 69. I think 68 or 67 would be like shooting 63 at this place if it is, you know, like a softer, easier setup. So many of the household names right now are over par. It's interesting. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jay in Arizona has been patient, and he joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good.
Hey, thanks for having us on the show. Hey, you got the double whammy fan here, so I'm a big fan, big-time Panther fan, and a Laker fan. So we'll start with the Panthers.
Okay.
I'm buying what you're selling about this. Darnold, you think he can make an impact right away? You think he can come in there and win some games? I mean, we lost most of their games by 7 or less or 10 or less points this last season.
I think he's going to surprise everybody and be really good. I thought Sam Darnold was the best quarterback in that class 4 years ago. If the Jets had the first pick in the draft that year, they would have taken him. And they thought they weren't going to get him, even when they traded up to three. They thought he would go first. They thought Cleveland was going to take him. So you're talking about a player that 3 years ago, the Jets thought they were getting as a steal with the third pick in the draft, and the guy that was the highest-rated quarterback in that class on many boards, he was out there by himself. For 3 years, he was really left alone. And that was an organizational failure on their part. He is going to a team that, granted, look, they've got the eighth pick in the draft. You know, as a Carolina fan, they were no great shakes last year. They're a below 500 team. He's going to. Having said that, I cannot tell you how much more talent he is going to now go play with than he played with in New York. Massively more talented skill position players than he had with the Jets. Did we lose Jay? I guess we lost Jay. I thought Jay wanted to chime in on the Lakers as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think Sam Darnold is one of the great untapped potential talents right now in the NFL. And in my opinion, like I said earlier, if I'm Washington, if I'm Chicago, Pittsburgh can certainly be thrown into that mix because Ben Roethlisberger, you need an heir apparent to him. Denver, not sold on Drew Locke. Minnesota, man, to me, Kirk Cousins isn't good enough. We've seen it over and over again. He's not good enough. So if you know what you got isn't good enough, why wouldn't you be interested in something that might be good enough? There's a bunch of teams out there that I think swung and missed or never swung at all, never even got up and took an at-bat to go after Sam Darnold. That's a miss. That's malpractice. If you're Washington and you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, what are you really thinking you have past a one-year stopgap? In Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's a reason he has been on 10 different teams in the NFL, right? Good and bad. The bad, obviously, is he's a limited player. There are times where he's an interception machine. He's been a starter, and years of being a guy who's gotten a decent number of starts, never been an above 500 quarterback, never been a playoff quarterback. So I can't imagine you're ever going to sit there as the Washington football team and say, all right, we've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback, we're good. Same thing if you're Chicago with Andy Dalton. You can't possibly be sitting there thinking you have anything other than a long-term backup option that is your plug-the-hole starter, but you still have to answer that question at some point, right? The answer to that question could be Sam Darnold. And ultimately, I think Carolina and the compensation they gave the Jets for Sam Darnold is going to make some of those teams that didn't step up to the plate and take a swing to try and get Darnold look bad. Because I think he's going to go to Carolina. I think he's going to be coached well. He is going to be with, I mean, some impact offensive players. Christian McCaffrey is an impact player. He is a home run hitter. He never had a home run hitter with the Jets. The best offensive player he had with the Jets is probably going to be the fourth best offensive player that he's going to have in his first year in Carolina. In 3 years with the Jets, Robbie Anderson was the best he played with. Those teams missed out. I'm telling you, they missed out. Bob Wischusen and in for Max, the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. We will try and squeeze in a few more calls before the top of the hour. So if you want to give us a buzz, got some open lines at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And a question as well, is it time for Roger Goodell to step up and put Deshaun Watson on the suspended list or on the exempt list and maybe put his stamp on the situation? It may be getting to that point, unfortunately, for the NFL and for Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about that as well when we come back. Baseball's back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/baseball. Coming right back, Bob in for Max on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Bob Wischusen in for Max. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. If you missed any part of the show today, you can always find both hours posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Dustin Johnson just lipped out a bogey putt and made about a four-footer for double at 18. He bogeyed 16, doubled 18, ends up plus two, shooting an opening round 74. So the defending champion being eaten alive this, the way many are today at Augusta. It is a really hard golf course right now. Man, just saw Bryson DeChambeau plow one into the trees right at number 8. He's plus 3 through his first 7. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Got a couple of calls standing by, so let's check in with Jeff in Charlotte first, who joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to call and give you a Carolina perspective. We are tickled pink about Sam Bradford coming to the Panthers.
Or Sam Darnold.
Number one, I'm sorry, Sam Darnold. I'm sorry. We are tickled pink because, number one, we've had this this flashy quarterback over the last 10 years, and we're looking for that humble quarterback who's going to come in, take charge, and be able to feed and throw good passes, accurate passes instead of over their head to our receivers, our running backs. That'll make our play action game even better. But we are flat tickled pink as far as all of my clan, and that's a pretty large clan of Panther fans. We could not be happier. And all these people that think that Sam Darnold is washed up, they just haven't been watching the games that you've been calling for the last 3 years.
Yeah,
I mean, he just hasn't had the talent. So we are absolutely tickled pink to have Sam Darnold.
I think you should be. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that you have every reason to be optimistic that at 23 years of age, having played 3 years in New York with a bottom five offensive line and no skill position help, that you have not seen what he can be as a player is fair. Now, look, this can't all be, like, none of it be Sam Darnold's fault. He does have to get better as a player. I'm not trying to paint the picture that he did everything perfectly here and he was completely a victim of circumstance. All right, he needs to be better. His decision-making needs to be better. But I think his decision-making is going to get substantially better when he has players around him that will give him decisions to make. There were so many times where he was dropping back going 1, 2, 3, 4 through his progressions, and, I mean, there's nobody out there for him to throw the football to. And there will be times where that will lead to a bad decision because you are trying to force something because you have no solutions around you. I think that's where a lot of his turnovers came from. I really do. He's trying to play hero ball because he is out there by himself. Whereas when he's in Carolina and he's got Christian McCaffrey making linebackers look silly or just leaking out of the backfield, I mean, he never had that here. Now, there was this idea when the Jets got Le'Veon Bell, they were getting a Christian McCaffrey kind of a player. And Le'Veon Bell was a total victim of Adam Gase. Right, Adam Gase knew nothing. Adam Gase was the worst. It was all Adam Gase's fault. They didn't know how to use Le'Veon Bell. Well, where did Le'Veon Bell go? He went to the most dynamic offense in the NFL and still didn't make a play. The Jets over 2 years gave Le'Veon Bell the ball like 750 times, and he never made a play. And he went to Kansas City, where what the players that are also on the field, when he's on the field in Kansas City, he should be getting matchup after matchup after matchup that he should be able to take advantage of. And there were two players in the Super Bowl that were healthy and didn't play a snap for the Chiefs, and one of them was Le'Veon Bell. So Le'Veon Bell was no help to Sam Darnold either. Christian McCaffrey will be a help in a big, big way. Jared in Virginia joins us next here. Bob Wischusen in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Hey, Jared.
How's it going?
Fire away, Jared. You're on.
All right. I'm here to talk about the Patriots and their draft options that they
yep.
have.
Okay.
I personally don't think that Cam Newton's our answer for quarterback for the definitely the long term. And looking over the draft class for the quarterbacks, there's a good substantial number that could possibly have high upside potential that could not necessarily be a Tom Brady-esque player, but still be able to be serviceable in the NFL.
Okay.
So my question is, do you think that the Pats could possibly trade up to get a Kyle Trask, a Mac Jones, maybe even a Justin Fields if he's still available?
Well, I would say of the three names that you threw out there, and thanks for the call, you do not have to trade up to get Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask, to me, is in that second tier of quarterbacks where there's a good chance he's going to be there at the end of the first round, early in the second round. You could probably trade back and get Kyle Trask. You would have to trade up, though, to go get a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields. And then you'd have to gauge where you'd have to get to in the top 10, top 8, top 5 to go get him. And do they have the firepower to go up and get that kind of a player? That's a good question. I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, the Dolphins are sitting at 6. They're not going to be the team that's going to trade with the Patriots to get them their quarterback unless they get an absolute ransom. Roger, Bubba, thanks so much for helping me through today's show. I'll be back tomorrow to fill in for Max. Have a great rest of your day on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.